بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم ما بعد عن سهيب رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كان في من كان ملك في من قبلكم وكان له ساحر فلما كبر قال للملك إني قد كبرت فبعث إلي غلاما يعلمه السحر فبعث إليه غلاما يعلمه وكان في طريقه إذا سلك راهب فقعد إليه وسمع كلامه فأعجبه وكان إذا أتى الساحر مر بالراهب وقعد إليه فإذا أتى الساحر ضربه فشكى ذلك إلى الراهب فقال إذا خشيت الساحر فقل حبسني أهلي وإذا خشيت أهلك فقل حبسني الساحر إلى آخر الحديث. This hadith is narrated by Suhayb رضي الله تعالى عنه. It's quite a lengthy hadith. We'll translate it and see how far we get. Before we begin the translation of this hadith, we find that there are many, many such incidents found in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins with this expression, fi man kana qablakum, that in the nations of the past, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention some lengthy incident. Sometimes these incidents would be with regards to resilience in the face of persecution, in the face of hardship, etc. We find that by listening to such incidents, this is a means by which the people of Iman, their himmat, their courage increases. Classical example of this is we find in Fazail al-Amal, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned many incidents of the hardships and difficulties experienced by Sahaba Kiram, particularly Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, and the manner in which he used to be whipped and made to lie in the burning sands of the desert with a rock placed on his chest. And he was a mountain of fortitude, a mountain of sabr and patience, where he would say, Ahad, the one Allah, Ahad, the one Allah. By listening to such incidents, himmat and courage is created in us also to withstand difficulties and hardships. This month of Muharram, generally, we recount the persecution that was meted out against the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he refused to compromise the principles of Islam despite the adversity and the difficulty. This is in order to give us himmat and courage that when we are faced with such temptations in the marketplace on a daily basis, to disobey the command of Allah Ta'ala, for us to be firm upon the command of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Second very interesting thing we learned from this incident is that it's a very lengthy hadith and it explains just one expression in the Quran. In Surah Buruj, Allah Ta'ala says, Qutila ashabul ukhdud, that those who carried out or committed the zulm or the oppression of the trenches, they are accursed. Now, Qutila ashabul ukhdud, three words in the Quran. What this means, who does it refer to? We would have absolutely no idea unless this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in front of us. There have been certain attempts by modernists, etc., to separate the Quran, the ahadith from the Quran. They try to advocate this idea that the Quran is sufficient, we don't need the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a classical example of a proof against them, that we would have absolutely no idea what this expression in the Quran means, Qutila ashabul ukhdud, unless there were such ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Quran, the ahadith are an integral part of the explanation of the Quran. In any case, coming back to this incident, Suhayb radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that amongst the nations of the past there was a king and he had a magician. When the magician became elderly, he said to the king that I have reached old age, so send a youngster to me, I want to teach him magic, otherwise the knowledge that I have will die with me. So he began sending a youngster and the magician would teach him. On the road, this youngster would pass by a monk, that is a Christian priest of that time. He would sit by him and he would listen to what he had to say, and this greatly attracted and interested the youngster. When he would come to the magician, he would pass by the monk and sit by him, so that by the time he reached the magician, he would have been delayed. So the monk would beat him, punish him for being late. So he complained about this to the monk. So the monk said to him that when you fear the punishment of the magician, then say that my family delayed me. And when you fear the punishment of your family, then say that the magician delayed me. Now this is obviously deception, he's lying. But ulama say that when one fears for one's life, or in the road of acquiring the truth, if one faces persecution, then in such instances to lie becomes permissible. One day, Whilst in his pursuit of this knowledge, this youngster passed by. We find in the hadith the expression, Rasulullah said, a huge animal. In another hadith we find that it is mentioned that the animal referred to is a lion. Interestingly, in the hadith of Tirmizi Sharif, the name of this youngster is mentioned also. His name was Abdullah bin Tamir. So one day he passed by this lion, and this lion was blocking the road of the people. So he said to himself that today I will come to know which is superior, the knowledge which I am learning by the magician or the knowledge that I am learning by the monk. So he picked up a stone and he said, O Allah, if the affair of the monk is more beloved to you than the affair of the magician, then kill this animal. That is, so that the road may be open and the people may pass. And he flung the stone at the animal and the animal died. And the people were able to pass. So he came to the monk and informed him what had happened. When the monk heard of this, he said, Oh my beloved son, today you have surpassed me. The height that you have reached of yaqeen, of conviction, is greater than what I am able to reach. Now I fear that you are going to be tested. You are going to become the target of persecution and trials. When you are tested, I have one request. Do not inform the people where you acquired your knowledge from. So the youngster reached such a level that he began curing the lepers and the blind people and various types of illnesses. So there was one courtier of the king who had become blind. When he heard about this youngster, he approached him with a lot of gifts. And he said, all what you see over here, I'm prepared to give it to you if you will cure me. So the youngster said that I cannot cure anybody. It is Allah that gives shifa and cure. If you bring iman on Allah, I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will cure you. So this person brought iman in Allah and Allah cured him, restored his eyesight. So he came back to the king and he sat where he would normally sit. So the king said to him that who restored your eyesight to you? He said, my lord. So the king responded, is there a lord besides me? So he said, my lord and your lord is one Allah. So the king caught hold of him and began torturing him until he informed about the youngster. The youngster was brought. And the king said to him that, oh my son, I can see that your magician, your magic has reached such a level that you are able to cure the lepers and the blind and you are able to do such and such things. The youngster responded that I cannot cure anybody. It is Allah that cures. So the king caught hold of him and began torturing him until he informed about the monk. The monk was brought and it was said to him that abandon your religion. The monk refused. The king sent for his saw, which was placed in the center of the head of the monk, and his body was cut into two pieces. Then the courtier of the king was called. It was said to him also, abandon your religion. But iman had entered the heart. So we find that the saw was placed in the center of his head, and he also, his body was cut into two pieces. And thereafter the youngster was called. Like I said, this is a very lengthy incident, inshallah we'll complete it tomorrow. But one important point is that we find that Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that if a person is tested to such a level that to protect his life, he has to utter the kalimat of kufr. He is allowed to do that. But where Allah Ta'ala says, Illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. To utter the kalimat of kufr to save one's life is permissible. And there were incidents like that in the past also. But we find that this is a more superior and a higher level of iman. That these people, once iman had entered the heart, rather than utter the kalimat of kufr, they were prepared to die on the iman. We find that this is a more superior and a higher level, and it is because they chose to do that, that is, rather than forsake the iman, they were prepared to give their lives, that Rasulullah speaks about them, and that today, several centuries later, in this masjid, we are speaking about them. Because of their high level of iman, that in the face of whatever adversity it was, they were not prepared to sacrifice and give up the iman. Allah Ta'ala give us such iman also.